WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Southwest Airlines is extending cancellations of the Boeing 737 MAX flights even further. The airline says it'll not fly the 737 MAX until at least November or perhaps longer. That follows similar announcements by American and United Airlines following the grounding of the airliner after a crash, two crashes in 5 months that killed 346 people. Joining us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles is Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. Brian, I want to begin there. Is it possible that we may not see the 737 MAX flying again this year?
Steve, one thing that I've learned coming on this show almost every week is that I should probably stop predicting when this is going to happen. People in the airline industry at this point simply do not know. As we have discussed, regulators are really putting the airplane through its paces. They want to make sure that everything is absolutely perfect. I don't know when the plane will fly again. The U.S. airlines have canceled their MAX schedules up until about early November. It might be then, it might be later. There are a lot of people saying now into 2020. Nobody knows. A lot of people didn't think it was going to take this long in the beginning, but sometimes this is just the way it goes.
Should we read anything into the delay, whether or not from a safety standpoint or maybe a red tape standpoint?
I just think that everyone wants to make absolutely sure that this is the safest airplane it absolutely can be when it starts flying again. You know, it's very, very unlikely that anything bad will ever happen again, given the scrutiny that this airplane has been under. But you can imagine if you're a regulator in Washington, D.C. or sitting in Europe and something bad happens on your watch, it would be the worst thing ever. Nobody wants that to happen, and people are going to make absolutely sure that this is the safest airplane it can be when it flies again. And I know, Steve, that when it does fly again, I will certainly be one of the first people on it. I do cover this stuff all the time, and I tend to trust these people.
You have a really cool story about the 737 MAX. I know we've heard rumblings that perhaps Boeing might want to change the name of this. Tell us what what the word is out there that you've seen.
Well, it's a very interesting thing, Steve, because I talk to a lot of people in the airline industry, and everybody pretty much believes that this airplane, the MAX, was safe, that it's still safe, that it's going to be safe. And I think there's a lot of people in the airline industry now that underestimate what public sentiment is. So people like Ryanair, CEO, and even others privately come out and say, look, you know, when we sell somebody a ticket and the flight's on the MAX and it's $10 cheaper than another flight, people are going to come back to this airplane. People have short memories. They're not going to care. But I also spoke to a lot of crisis management and branding and PR people for the story that I wrote. And they said, look, you know, this is not about the airline industry. This is like a corporate crisis. And in a situation like this, you must change the name of the airplane. And in fact, what they told me was you have to change the name of the airplane, even if it's essentially functionally the same airplane. You have to go out there and you have to say, we've made so many changes to this, you know, whether that is or is not true. And so we've decided to change the name of the airplane. It's no longer called the MAX. It's called the new name. So there is this kind of difference between what people in the aviation industry think. You probably don't need to change the name. People will be back. And the difference between those folks that do crisis communication for a living and say, you must change the name.
Yeah, in the story you talk about where this sort of some of where this started from, perhaps a paint job on a 737 MAX had a different numbering on it.
Yeah, this became viral over the weekend, at least in my aviation circles. Ryanair has these 737 MAX planes. Of course, they're not flying right now, but on the nose of the airplane, they had painted 737 MAX. And somebody caught a photograph of a new plane coming out of the factory. And this one didn't say 737 MAX on the nose. It said 737-8200. And I will tell you, Steve, that technically that's also the name of the airplane, right? These things have various names, but people pounced on that and said, oh, they're going to call the airplane the 8-200 in the future. They're going to drop the MAX name. They may very well do that, but Ryanair's CEO came out this week and said, we have no idea where this picture came from. Don't read too much into it.
There's another story about United Airlines. I know we've been talking about all kinds of ways the airlines get revenue, make money. What is going on at United Airlines?
Yeah, historically, or at least in the last 10 years after the merger with Continental, United has had a bit of a revenue problem compared to its competitors. But people know that new management came in a few years ago. They've wanted to change that. And United has had a new mentality in Chicago that they're going to chase new revenue wherever it is. And, you know, this is probably the case with any business, but if you really go hard for new revenue, you might complicate your business, right? And airlines generally try to be simplistic so that they fly only a few types of airplanes and they have only a few seating configurations and they just try to make it simple. United has come out and said, you know what, we're not going to keep it simple. So we have these special airplanes that we're flying from Chicago to London with a lot more business class seats than usual. London is a great premium market. There's all these corporate lawyers and business people in Chicago that need to go to London that are willing to pay a fortune. The problem with that sort of thing potentially is that now you have some airplanes with a lot of business class seats and some airplanes with not so many business class seats, and you can only sell you can only send some to some cities and some to other cities, and it just makes it tougher to run the airline. But United says that it can do that. And then pretty soon, Steve, this excites people like me. United's going to come out with a new regional jet that usually has 70 seats on it. United's only going to put 50 seats on it. So there's going to be 10 seats in first class. There's going to be 20 seats in economy plus, and there's going to be 20 seats in regular economy. And United just thinks that this is like the greatest idea that they've ever had. They're going to send the airplane from Chicago into small cities where people generally haven't had first class, and they're super excited about it. Will it work? I'm not sure that it will. Nobody knows. But United says its new mentality is they're going to try new things. If they work, they're going to keep them. And if not, they're going to fail fast.
There's another interesting story, Brian. You know, this tight jobs market, companies are just trying everything they can to find the best employees. And there's an interesting story about how there may be some recruiting going on for people who may be of retirement age to keep working in the aviation industry.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, as recently as about 10 years ago, if you were an airline pilot, it was very hard to get a job. There were many more qualified pilots than there were jobs. Airlines were contracting. They were getting smaller. But things changed very quickly, right? And now I'm not sure that there's a pilot shortage, but it is a great time to be a trained pilot. And so airlines are doing a few things to ensure that they can have more pilots. One thing that they're doing, Steve, is that, you know, when the labor market was pretty bad for pilots, many of them left the industry. They went on and they did something else, but they were still trained to be a pilot. So you may go on a United Express or American Eagle flight right now, and those usually have the youngest pilots, and you might have a 55-year-old pilot who left the industry for 15 years when things weren't very good and then returned 2 years ago and said, my goodness, they're paying so much more than they used to. And it's worth going back into the industry. So that's been very interesting. Now, you talk about old pilots. People probably know that airlines are a very regulated industry. And so if you want to fly for American, Delta, United, you have to be 65 and younger. That's just the rules. But if you want to fly for a charter operation or you want to fly private jets, you can actually be quite a bit older. And so what's happening now is people are retiring from airline jobs and they're going out and getting other pilot jobs where the age 65 rule doesn't apply. So I don't know how many of our listeners are flying, you know, private jets. But if they do, they might find a 73-year-old captain. It does happen.
All right, Brian. Great stories as always. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Summers and also Skift at Skift. And Brian's with us every Friday here on The Opening Bell.